travel, but he has asked me to step in and teach a lesson. I don't want to steal any of his thunder, so as I mentioned, kind of at the tippy top of class, what I'd like to do is teach a one-off lesson that looks back, harkens back a little bit to one of my past classes in 2 Thessalonians, where we talked about the man of sin. And this one-off lesson will also kind of look forward to some verses and some discussion sure to be had in Brian's deeper look of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. All right? So what I want to talk about this morning is the Antichrist, the Antichrist. I mentioned to you last time when we discussed how that's a bit of a misnomer, and we'll dig a little deeper into that subject this morning. I, of course, welcome all sorts of discussion. If you've got anything pressing or burning to discuss on this topic, or really any topic, I'm pretty cool to hear all of that stuff that maybe comes to your mind as we discuss and study along the way. The concept of the Antichrist is basically what? When somebody who's kind of, you know, not really speaking from the Bible brings up the Antichrist, what kind of series of events are we describing?
Sorry
about that. Okay, all right. No, it's fine. That's fine. Right. Sam, I love that. That's exactly what I want to do. And this will, of course, overlap with what Brian is going to be talking about. But we'll let him talk about it when he gets here as well. I am conscious of not, you know, stealing this thunder, but also I do want to keep us in the neighborhood of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. So hopefully we're straddling both of those goals effectively this morning. But Sam, that's exactly where I want us to look. 1 John chapter 2 has for us what the Bible says about Antichrist. And it, as you've shared, Sam, is very, 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 very different from what a lot of the denominational world says about Antichrist. There have been some movies made, low-budget movies, but still, I mean, a movie's a movie, right? You know? About the Antichrist, right? And there, throughout history, there have been popular theories about this figure in Bible, the Antichrist. And some have, you know, speculated that maybe it's Hitler, maybe it's somebody else, I don't know. You know, lots of different ideas seem to circulate. But the big picture kind of landscape that this Antichrist figure kind of fits into is premillennialism, of course, which is a very, very, very pernicious false doctrine that is kind of unique in how, you know, cross-platform it is, right? This is kind of like the Linux version of false doctrines, because it really invites all users to add a little something to the theory, to the platform, so to speak. And premillennialism, in kind of its base version, is this idea that first starts with the claim that Jesus came to do what? If someone says premillennialism, we get the ball rolling by saying, okay, we're talking about premillennialism. That whole thing gets started with the assertion that Jesus came to establish an earthly kingdom, And so right out of the gate, you have to kind of swallow that camel. You have to say, oh yeah, Jesus came to establish his earthly kingdom. But what happened? Jesus clearly did not establish an earthly kingdom. So what gives? Well, subscribers to premillennialism say, yeah, Jesus did not establish his earthly kingdom because the Jews wouldn't let him. How you like them apples? You have the Almighty Son of God who can be born of a virgin and do all sorts of miracles, and he is thwarted, he is stopped dead in his tracks by the whiny Jews, who the theory suggests did not want an earthly kingdom. But hold your finger here, if you got your finger here in 1 John chapter 2, and flick back with me to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, I really don't want to get too far off the beaten path, but this is good stuff. In John chapter 6, we see a picture of the Jews, and it is very different from people who do not want an earthly kingdom. In John chapter 6, we see that the Jews are massively impressed with Jesus' ability to work a miracle. And the Bible lets us know that they were going to take Jesus by force and make him a king. I'm using a different Bible this morning, so the verse is not jumping out at me. Which verse? 15? Man, I never would have found that. Thank you. John 6:15. Jesus, therefore, somebody want to read it for us? You got it. John 6:15. I don't want to do all the talking in here this morning. Who's got John 6:15? Wow. Right. So, what's happening here in John 6:15? Well, what's happening is the Jews are fixing to kidnap Jesus. For what reason? Why are they going to come and forcibly take Jesus to be king, right? And Jesus is aware of their desire to make him king, right? Jesus, we of course know that Jesus is aware of the thoughts of every man and woman. He knows everything, but right here the verse even spells it out for us. Jesus perceived that they would take him by force and make him a king. My head's all clogged up this morning, so if I'm talking too loud, somebody stop me. But I can't hear myself. So if Jesus wanted to set up an earthly kingdom, bingo, game, set, and match right here. Because right here in John 6:15, the Jews want an earthly kingdom. True or false? True. They're ready to kidnap Jesus and make him be their king. And so if Jesus wanted to set up an earthly kingdom, we got it right here. However, as you know, Jesus' intention never was to set up an earthly kingdom. And completely contrary to the theory, false doctrine is what it really is, of premillennialism, Jesus was not stopped by the Jews from making an earthly kingdom. As a matter of fact, that's what they wanted. And the reason why they wanted it was because, we suppose, they were sick and tired of being under Rome's control. And so Jesus, if he could have been a militaristic leader, he had the Jews eating out of the palm of his hand. In fact, if you stay in John chapter 6, which I promise we won't do this morning, we'll save that for another time. If you stay in John chapter 6, you will see that the Jews finally leave Jesus when? The Jews finally reject Jesus when? They finally reject Jesus when he makes... They finally reject Jesus when he turns things spiritual on them. When Jesus says, now, I'm not here to feed y'all physical bread from heaven. I'm here to teach you the word of God. I'm the bread sent from heaven. My words have this satiating quality of filling you up spiritually. When the Jews heard that, they were like, man, say what? We liked it when we were getting lunch from this guy. We liked it when it looked like he could feed an army. But now that Jesus is talking about God and heaven and salvation and, you know, that kind of stuff, we're out of here. And John 6:66 sadly declares, from that time, many, not just one or two, but a lot of them dudes turned around and walked with Jesus no more. Many turned back and walked with Jesus no more. When? When did that happen? When Jesus said, I don't want to be your physical king. That's when they left him. So, we have to empty all that from our minds. And we have to say, yeah, sure, when Jesus came, he wanted to set up an earthly kingdom, but the Jews wouldn't let him. Even though that's opposite of what's going on in John chapter 6, right? You will find, as you scratch beneath the surface of premillennialism, that it has very little to do with the actual Bible. It's a really cool story about Jesus coming to set up an earthly kingdom, but being stopped by the whiny Jews. So instead of setting up an earthly kingdom, he instead set up the church, but he's coming back again to set up that earthly kingdom, which will last for 1,000 years. And here we are right now, dum dum dum, living in the time before that 1,000-year kingdom, thus the name premillennialism. And one of these days, you just wait and see, Jesus is coming back to set up an earthly kingdom. And there is a countdown of sorts as to when Jesus will come and set up this earthly kingdom. Things like the rapture are factored into this elaborate tale of when Jesus will come back. The tribulation period, the mark of the beast, the man of sin, the Antichrist, all fit into this wildly embellished story about how all this is going to happen. So, in this convoluted, non-biblical, definitely, turn of events, they say, okay, the man of sin is going to come, and he's the guy who's going to set off the tribulation. And I think before the tribulation sets off, there's the rapture, I don't know. There are different flavors of this premillennialism stuff, like a pre-tribulation, a post-tribulation. It gets zany for sure, but kind of the base model says, okay, this man of sin is coming, And he is going to fight a big old war against God. He's going to make people, of course, this man of sin, he's a bad guy. He's going to make people take the mark of the beast. And if you don't, curtains for you. And then Jesus is going to come, you know, in the 11th hour, probably riding on a white horse. That sounds good, doesn't it? And he's going to beat this man of sin and then set up his earthly kingdom. Well, so much of that kind of rides on the position of this Antichrist. Brings us back to 1 John chapter 2. And to Sam's earlier point that the Antichrist, is a bit of a misnomer, because 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, somebody have that? You want to read it for us? What does it say? 1 John 2, 18. So many antichrists, plural. So there is no the antichrist. The whole positioning of this figure here as being a single guy or gal is just, it just doesn't fit the Bible, right? Which clearly presents right here that many antichrists are here. There are now many antichrists. So the idea, the portrayal that there's one of these and he's coming, you know, in a period of tribulation or before a period of tribulation, depending on what flavor you're sampling from. It just doesn't fit the Bible, you know, as is the case with so much of this premillennialism. Just doesn't fit the Bible. Beginning with what we noticed right out of the gate, the fact that the Jews, in fact, wanted Jesus to be their earthly king. So, you know, we got off to a wobbly start, and it's not getting any better as we go on. Did I see your hand? Yes, sir. Which word is capitalized there? I'm looking at the King James Version. Which word do you see capitalized? It really, that's interesting. That's interesting. That may, John, in the version that he's looking at, notices a capitalization in Antichrist. Is that in other versions as well? Huh? New King James. Not in the ESV. It's interesting. You know, that may represent. I'm kind of speaking off the cuff here, that may represent a bit of bias in the translators or the editors of some of these different versions. I appreciate that point being brought up. That's something that wasn't really on my radar. Let me ask you, John, if you don't mind, both words, are they both capitalized? It's found, just the first one. Really? That's intriguing to me. I'm gonna make a mental note of that and do some more digging into that. I find that rather fascinating. I have the New American Standard Version here. Let me just flick open and see what it says real quick. Pardon me a second. Yeah, now see I was wondering about that too. In verse 22, the next verse that we're going to, I would expect, I asked the question, are they both capitalized in verse 18? Because the first instance is a bit more official, title-y sounding. That Antichrist, I could see somebody's bias maybe capitalizing that one, but then not capitalizing many Antichrists. And you said that's the case. And you said in verse 22 as well, lowercase a in Antichrist. New American Standard keeps it all lowercase, which I think is probably truer to these originals. You know, the originals were not written necessarily in upper and lowercase. Beg your pardon. It has lowercase letters, but the manuscripts were written in all uppercase. So kind of the caps locks were on, and they were shouting at you, kind of 2018 speak. But yeah, that's very interesting. I do appreciate that being pointed out. And you know, don't hold me to it, but I would say perhaps, well, anyone who would capitalize the Antichrist seems to buy into a central figure kind of idea, which is a little strange given what the remainder of verse 18 says. There are now many antichrists. And if you want a definition for this antichrist, you want to know, you know, you could be real provocative at the Christmas dinner table and say, I know who the Antichrist is. Oh, yeah? Yeah. 1 John 2:22 defines the Antichrist. You tell me who he is. Anyone who is against Christ, right? It's kind of like grilled cheese sandwich, you know. The title lets you know what it is. Antichrist refers, rather matter-of-factly, to somebody who is against Christ. Anti means against. To be an antichrist is to simply be somebody who is against Christ. And I know there have been some fits and starts in Brian's class, but he did intro a bit and let us know of the prevailing Gnostic view, the denial of Jesus Christ as God's Son. There were a few different flavors of this denial. Some denied that Jesus was come in the flesh, you know. But there was a general blanket of rejection of Jesus, kind of a little more sophisticated than the Pharisees' early rejection of Jesus. So as this false doctrine gained some traction, John is here talking to us about those who deny that Jesus is the Christ, right? So, and I'll save some of this for him because I know he's excited about talking about it. But, you know, Jesus was a real man. And there were, at this time, late first century, mid first century, there were evolving views of Jesus's incarnation. The degree to which Jesus was actually God in the flesh. And some of these views claim that Jesus only became deity when he was baptized. You know, the Spirit descends. That was when Jesus became deity. Others of these views suggest that Jesus' deity left him when he was being crucified on the cross. It's all, you know, it's all wrong. Jesus was God in the flesh. For as long as Jesus had flesh, he was divine God in that flesh. So, but it gives a bit more of context and kind of lets us know why right here we're talking about Antichrist all of a sudden. Well, we're talking about Antichrist not all of a sudden. We're talking about Antichrist because it certainly fit into the general goings-on of these readers' day. And go ahead, Sam. Yeah, it's wrong. Indeed. Indeed. Right. Absolutely. Excellent. Yes. Yeah. Right. Right. Same concept, isn't it? You know, it's an unfortunate, this Gnosticism, which y'all will dig into more as the study of 1 John unfolds, but it's really very reminiscent, I think, of various Jewish and Muslim views of Jesus, which basically, you know, Sam, your comment got me thinking about this, that, you know, that there is, by the religious world, the non-Christian religious world, right? I'm talking way big picture. The Jews, the Buddhists, the Muslims for sure, all claim that Jesus was a real guy. There are very few who deny the historicity of Christ, right? That, thankfully, that debate has been won, right? There's ample evidence. There is enormous consensus that Jesus was a real guy. So where the debate now is had is, okay, yeah, Jesus was a real guy, but there is this enormous myth around Jesus. The Christian community, if you can believe it, they say coalesced around this guy Jesus and basically endowed him mythologically with a deity, and they made Jesus God's son, and really Jesus wasn't God's son for real, but, you know, he was, to quote Muslims and Jews, he was a good man, he was a great prophet, they might say. But he wasn't really God in the flesh. Well, Houston, we've got a problem. Because Jesus claimed that he was God's son. The writers, the followers of Jesus, believed him to be God's son. Yes, which means what? Yes. Right. 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 And his name means God with us. Right. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, That is of course the way the Bible presents Jesus. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. I'll take it. Sure, sure. Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. So it represents kind of an early compromise. Jesus is a real guy, but, you know, we can give a little on this Son of God stuff. Well, John is battling that notion, and he's saying that is Antichrist. You look at it again from John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, 1 John 4, 3, and here's the way the team is divided. Every spirit, if you look at chapter 4, verse 1, John says, don't believe every spirit, try the spirits. He's not talking about bodiless, you know, entities. He's calling us, you know, he's calling us the spirits because we are spirits with a body, you know. So don't get too off track about that. Every spirit, every person that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. That is the spirit of Antichrist. And you've heard it should come into the world. Even now it is in the world. So again, we have 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:3 lining up. John is saying both times, here is what an antichrist is. Lowercase in the King James Version, by the way. What about some of the others? 1 John 4:3, that spirit of Antichrist represents any who reject the deity of Jesus. When we say deity, we just mean the fact that Jesus is God's Son, right? And when Jesus calls himself God's Son, that is a very first century Palestinian way of making himself equal to God. So Jesus, in his repeated claims that God is his Father, that he is God's Son, was making himself equal to God. You know, in the same way in this land and custom, someone's son would be of near equal status to his father. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And Jesus, Matthew 16, Jesus' observation to that was, you did not learn this from men. Right? This is only something that is revealed from heaven through the miracles that Jesus did, because the consensus at that time of Jesus was not that he was God's son. Right? The whole epic conversation begins by saying, who do men say that I am? There were many. You know, yes, yes. Yes, sir, Mr. Vernon.
Well, John wrote when he arrived in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
Yes.
He says, things we have heard, but not only that, what we have seen with our eyes.
Right.
Not only have we heard from people, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Absolutely. Very, very much so. Very much so, and I appreciate you bringing us back to that that intro of the gospel, of not the gospel, but the general letter here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 is a very bold declaration by John to the church. We know who Jesus is. And there was a lot of pressure previously mentioned with the Roman Empire and such. There was a lot of pressure for these Christians to deny their faith. And John is saying, listen, y'all, we know who Jesus is. And we know what we're supposed to do with that. And any attempts otherwise make us an antichrist. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ is God's Son, we can wrap up this morning by talking about ways that we deny that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You can certainly do that by waking up out of bed and saying, I don't believe in Jesus. You can do it that way. But what are some other ways that you can deny that Jesus Christ is God's Son? But you can wake up and say, I'm not doing what Jesus wants me to do today. I'm not going to get baptized. I'm not going to get baptized. You can live a life of denial. You can say, well, I know what God wants me to do, but I really want to do this. Same difference. Whether we say it with our words or whether we say it with our actions, which often speak louder than our words, you know, it'll put us in the same boat of being an antichrist. How about that? You didn't think you'd come to Bible class this morning and think you have to worry about being the antichrist. But you do, we do have to worry about being this antichrist. Because we need to live the way he wants us to live. We know who Jesus is. That comes from the first couple of verses in the book. We know who Jesus is, and we know what we're supposed to do with that. That's a good place for us to end, unless there is a comment, question, anything along the way, anything. We'll go ahead and stop there, y'all. I really appreciate it. Brian will be back in the saddle next week.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.